Hey, welcome in to the Friday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game, brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It's a beautiful Friday morning in the Middle Tennessee area. Joe Rex Road, good morning. Salutations. How we doing? What's going on? One mute immediately from Rex Road to start the Friday morning. It's a beautiful way to start. I still can't hear Rex Road.
Can you hear me?
Now we can. Now I can hear. You're good.
Okay. I think the second one was not on me. But
we're gonna
like
blame you anyway.
We missed them. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm still stunned at what we saw last night. I cannot believe Indiana won that game.
Yeah, pretty crazy. We're gonna get to that here in just a second. Ian, how are we doing? What's going on?
Mo, doing great. Thanks. Yeah, I was checking the game, you know. Saw the score. What? 10 points in the first quarter, okay. I watched a little bit in the second quarter. Checked the score again. Saw it was like double figures in the fourth quarter, and I went to sleep.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
It was 15. It was over.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be exactly what we all thought it was going to be, which is, well, this is all fun and great, but Oklahoma City is going to kill them. And then I guess that's on me, Joe, because how many times does Halliburton have to do this in one postseason before you just watch the thing till the end and get done and say, all right, this is it? But, I mean, the other part of this that's crazy, if you would have told me, Joe, heading into game one, that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was going to have 38 and Halliburton would have 14 points, I was like, okay, well, Oklahoma City's going to win by 30 points in this game. And that is not what happened. He does it again. Look, I don't know if Indiana's going to end up winning this thing here or not, but think about the postseason and just the amount of clutch shots for Tyrese Halliburton. It's unbelievable at this point.
No, it really is. It's an incredible collection. I mean, all the, you know, the great ones, you can find a, you know, a montage of Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Isaiah Thomas. It was insane with these late, you know, buzzer beater, you know, that stuff. Now, all the greats, like in one postseason, I struggle. I don't know that there's someone who in one postseason has this many. I could be wrong, but I don't think so, man. I really don't remember
one quite like it.
It's crazy. And, you know, another thing about it is he hit the shot, and it's like as soon as he pulled up, I'm like, that's going to go in because it always does. But, you know, most of the fourth quarter comeback, it was Andrew Nembhard who really took over the game.
Yep.
Of course, he and SGA are really good friends. They're both on Team Canada. They were shoving each other and, you know, getting into – but he just started just going nuts, crossing people over, hitting threes. Now, a lot of different people hit big shots there, and then Halliburton finishes. So, but no, it's remarkable. Him hitting those shots, and then also the Team of Destiny thing they have with just constantly falling way behind, looking inferior, and then in the same night, somehow pulling out a win.
Yeah, it's wild to me. I don't understand how they keep doing it. I really don't. And like you said, I mean, when Halliburton pulls up there, you just know that it's going in based on the way that he's played throughout the playoffs here. And again, like Oklahoma City, I still think, Joe, that they're probably going to end up winning the series when it's all said and done. But I got to say, like, I'm kind of happy Indiana won game one because I think that gives me hope that we're going to get a pretty good series here. And look, maybe I'm an idiot. Maybe I'm just doubting the Indiana Pacers at this point at my own peril based on the postseason that they've had. But I was glad to see them get game one because I think now we could get a pretty darn good series out of this.
Yeah, I mean, I do think of the series a little differently beyond just, another insane Indiana comeback. I mean, they can defend them. They can defend Oklahoma City pretty well in the half court. But again, that's what's crazy is like they had a million turnovers last night. That was a big stat they were talking about after the game is I think it was 25 turnovers, but they only got like 11 points off that or something like that. It was a low number of points off the turnover. So they didn't let them get runouts. So when they're in the half court, they can defend, you know, because SGA had to have a lot of shots to get those points, and certainly, you know, he did what he does. He had some incredible drives, body control, but it wasn't like it was easy for him. Then he's hitting the mid range, you know. So I do think they can defend him. if they can clean it up and figure out that pressure defense that Vinny Goodwill was telling us about yesterday. I love the 40 minutes of hell comparison. They just at times are just so you cannot turn your back and dribble against them. Obi Toppin just keeps doing it, and it's like, dude, they're just going to come from behind and rip you. If they can figure that out, I mean, I think they can be in this thing. I think that we can have better games that are close, like throughout the game, possibly.
Well, and you know, you mentioned the turnovers, 25 for Indiana, only 7 for Oklahoma City. I mean, the thing that would probably scare me a little bit if I'm Indiana is Oklahoma City shot 39.8% from the field, which they just don't do very often. So,
yeah,
of course, I mean, that's some of – Indiana gets credit for that, right, with their defense. Now, that's also a team that in Oklahoma City can heat up pretty dramatically. So, we'll see what that looks like in game two there. But, again, like, it just – another comeback where it looked like Indiana at one point was dead in the water – and they're able to go on the road and steal a game. Like, I mean, it's I don't know that it's exactly the same as, you know, kind of the Knicks game one, but it's pretty similar, right? Where they're down and then Halliburton makes a play at the end. And how much did that change the tone and the feel of that series, right? And now they've done it again here in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Miles Turner last night was kind of a disaster, you know, really for Indiana. And still, I mean, he did make some big plays down the stretch, but, you know, there's a lot of things they can do better. Like you said, Oklahoma City also, they definitely missed some shots, some good shots. You know, that was part of the comeback. It's funny because Doris Burke, by the way, that's something worth talking about at some point. You know, Rick Carlisle sort of went off on like how people are talking about, like, Doris Burke might be off the broadcast, but I think she's really good. I don't think Richard Jefferson's that good. That's my opinion on that. I've liked Doris Burke for many years. I think she should be part of the team and Breen, and I think they could probably do better than Jefferson. But now I've lost the point I was going to make. What the heck was I talking about?
I don't know. You were hitting somewhere, though.
I had a great point to make. She was talking about something, and then it played out that way. Well, anyway, you know, great points by me. But no, I mean, look, they can match up pretty well. You know, Caruso gave them trouble too. You know, they got caught in some switches and things like that. But you know, I like how their defense. That's the point she made. She's like, it's like, you know, Indiana is one of the most spurtable teams in the league. They're averaging 117 points a game in the playoffs, all this stuff. The best run they have this whole night is 6-0. She made this point is they're, you know, they're hanging there about that, and then boom, like that immediately they go on like a 12-2 run, you know, until they flip the game. Yeah. So it's like at some point they're going to do that. It's also like rooting interest here. I mean, I think it's cool if either of these teams wins it, you know, like the Pacers, as much as I used to kind of hate them, you know, back in the day when they had Ron Artest and all those guys, it'd be cool for their fans. And obviously Oklahoma City, I mean, Oklahoma City fans don't like care that like the Sonics have won it before, you know,
they do not.
Yeah. I mean, this is so, I mean, either way, it'll be a first. I just feel like, you know, Oklahoma City is set up to be a great team for years to come. People are talking, using the D word. I mean, what is Indiana? You know,
yeah.
You got to take them seriously. I don't think we can call them a fluky smoke and mirrors team.
How about Aaron Nesmith, as you've mentioned, and what he's done in the postseason? How about the former Belmont Bruin Ben Shepherd getting on the board in the NBA Finals with 3 points last night in the NBA Finals?
Yeah, and he's a rotational guy who, you know, certainly a big time defense player and hit some shots for them. And, you know, Nesmith didn't have a very good game. He did hit a couple big threes in the fourth, but he did not have the type of game he's been having. He's a key guy.
He's 3-9 from the field.
Yeah, but still, yeah, a couple of those, I believe two of those three were in the fourth. I know one definitely. late that he rattled in. But yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, I guess that is for people around here, you know, that would be a reason to, I guess, root for the Pacers, right?
You would think so. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We're off and running on the program here today. Jared Stillman will be with us at 7 o'clock. TD at 8. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. We got weekend winners coming up later in the show, and let me just tell you, Joe Rexroad, Ian Safar, Robbie Stanley, all tied in the competition in weekend winners.
Ooh.
We got some things to get after a little bit later in the program. We'll take your thoughts all program long. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Joe Rexroad is mad, and he's got some things to say about it coming up next. We'll do that. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, the game.
They're not going to call a timeout. Halliburton has it with three, driving with two, pulling up, and hitting with 0.3 seconds to go. How many more times can this team do that?
We just all got each other's back at every point. Any negative thing that's said about anybody, we got full belief in each other. And so the more that's talked about, like right now we're whatever underdog, that gives us more confidence as a group. We enjoy that, you know. But there's still a lot of work to be done. You know, this is an exciting time. Again, another big comeback. But there's a lot more work to do. You know, that's just one game. And this is the best team in the NBA. And like you said, they don't lose often. So we expect them to respond. And we got to be prepared for that.
The Indiana Pacers get it done last night in game one of the NBA Finals. They win 111-110 against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe Rexroad, as we know, a passionate fan of the NBA. Passionate is what he brings to the table. And Joe, some people have made you mad throughout this entire NBA playoffs process, and certainly as we've gotten here to the NBA Finals. What has upset you, and what would you like to discuss on the program today?
Thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
Yeah, yes. I can't believe you didn't call me sir. This goes back to beef. Yesterday I was going back and forth on the text, and I was like, I think this is worth bringing to a segment. So here's the thing. If you don't like the NBA, it's fine. Don't like the NBA. To me, if you don't like the NBA, I question whether you really like basketball. I understand, like, you know, Kahar said, they shoot too many three-pointers. I want more mid-range shots. You know, fine. I mean, you know, he doesn't like basketball that much. Fine. If you don't like basketball, it's fine. But if you do love basketball, which I do, it doesn't really compute for me that you don't like the NBA today. You know, I hear they don't play defense. That's brilliant. Watch a game. Watch one game in your life. Watch one quarter of one game in your life. And I'm talking regular season too, but obviously the postseason is different. I mean, if anything, I would say this postseason, we're drifting a little bit back towards some of those physical times of, you know, a lot of stuff being allowed on the defensive end. I mean, you look at Oklahoma City play defense. It's incredible. The different things they do. I think the game is great right now because we do have these mixing of zone defenses in. I think there's more strategy that way. And there's teams that play a lot of different ways. They don't, yes, the Celtics definitely are an example of a team that at times can get very 3-point happy, but not every team's like that at all. And so, look, I love the game. I love the NBA right now. If you don't like it, that's fine. The argument I got in yesterday is, you know, the ratings thing. And then to paraphrase, you know, look at the ratings. Now, hockey, that's amazing. I love that. You know what? I love the Stanley Cup playoffs, too. I love them both. But if we're going to have a ratings argument, like, what are you talking about? I mean, the NBA has five times the ratings of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like, I'm sorry. I wish it wasn't. I wish they both had much higher ratings. I do. And, you know, I think, actually, at this point now, we may have two great final series. I did not think so. But after last night, I have to rethink that. I'm very excited about the Stanley Cup final. But again, like, how could you use ratings as your argument, but then you're trying to say, see, the NHL's awesome and their playoff is great, but the NBA sucks. Look at the ratings. What? That doesn't make any sense. So that's basically what I wanted to say. Another thing, though, I did want to bring Robbie to ask you, because I thought, and we're going to have Jared on, but I thought he had an interesting segment, is the lack of, you know, one of his big gripes, and, you know, Jared complains about everything. He complains about the NBA every chance he gets. But, you know, his thing is, like, you know, the lack of stars. And certainly he's not the only one saying this. So I was listening yesterday, and he was saying, like, who are the stars? Who are the stars in this league? And again, he's saying, like, who's the Michael? Who's the Magic? Well, it's hard to get there, right? Like, I mean, LeBron is older now, so who's taking the baton? I think that's a fair question. But I did throw to him, like, what about Luka? How about the Joker? How about Anthony Edwards? How about Giannis? How about Donovan Mitchell? These are all guys he didn't mention as he was talking through, you know, star power. But, you know, what do you think about that in terms of people who don't like the NBA or something that could hurt the NBA, just the lack of star power?
Well, I think a couple things. Number one, my answer to that would probably be Jokic. I mean, look at what he's done over the last 5 years. Now, he's also incredibly boring in terms of his personality, right? Like, he absolutely hates doing the media. Go back and watch when the Nuggets won the championship. He was, like, just beside himself that the championship parade was, like, 4 days later and he couldn't get back to Europe and just hang out. Like, he's just a different type of guy, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah yeah
like Giannis is kind of the same way. Like, he's kind of boring. So, like, I think some of the, and I'm not talking about the way they play, because the way they play is really exciting and that's ultimately the most important part, but I don't think that, you know, LeBron kind of puts himself out there. Giannis doesn't really do that. Jokic certainly doesn't do that. And I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander just won the league MVP, but he does play in Oklahoma City, and he just doesn't say a whole lot either. I mean, the main thing that people see him in are all these, like, AT&T commercials that he's walking around in out there. So it's right. I don't think there's been that next NBA star yet that just, like, connects on, like, maybe a pop culture level. Like, LeBron was everywhere, right? And part of LeBron being everywhere was – like, when he made the decision to leave Cleveland and go to Miami, there were a lot of people that really hated that. And you had strong opinions on LeBron James either way. Either you loved him or you hated him. And I do think we're probably missing some of that in the NBA right now with their young stars. Like, nobody really hates Nikola Jokic, but unless you're a Nuggets fan, like, do you really love Nikola Jokic? I would ask that question. I mean, Luka's probably the closest one, would be my guess.
Yes. I mean, I agree. I mean, he talks some mad trash, and I think he's hilarious.
Yeah, like, Luka would probably be the one that I would point to. And look, maybe now that he's out of Dallas and he's with the Lakers, I mean, if you're a Dallas fan, you're still, like, ready to light your city on fire based on what happened earlier this year. But, you know, maybe him, as he starts to become a quote-unquote a Laker moving forward, maybe that helps.
Yeah, I think he has all the elements for sure. Now, I think Giannis also is, as far as a face of the league, you know, and like an incredible guy who's also, I think, a fascinating player to watch. I mean, obviously, we forget about because they got bounced so early by Indiana this year, but I think he's on that list of people. You know, Anthony Edwards is, I still think, has the game to potentially, you know, be one of those guys. You know, John Morant a couple of years ago, it looked very different. I mean, John Morant was one of those guys we looked at and said, okay, this is a guy who's going to be one of those torch carriers for the future generation, you know, and obviously things have kind of gotten derailed for him. But Halliburton is a guy who, and Vinny, you know, mentioned it yesterday, and I agree. I mean, Halliburton, personality-wise, saying interesting things, you know, he's never gonna, I guess the problem is, again, he's just never gonna blow you away with his game, right? Like, he's just not a especially explosive guy. He has a weird looking shot. I mean, he keeps hitting these freaking shots at the end of games. I mean, you know, that's pretty good, but I do think he's at least elevated to someone who's like one of the personalities of the league, which I think is great. And the, you know, the whole overrated thing is amazing. By the way, Vinny, I think Vinny said, did he say 13 people yesterday?
Yeah. I think he's talking about like the 13 people that voted for Halliburton, not the actual poll.
Okay. I was going to say, cause it was about 90 guys that they polled, which is a pretty good sample size. I mean, that's that's a, you know, that's like 3%. That's pretty good sample size. So 13 voted for him. Yeah. So it's not like it's a ton of people. Still, it's amazing that he, you know, he might end up taking this all the way after that publishes. So here's Chip from Mount Jewel. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, you brought up the point about the NHL earlier. Like, I think in terms of the game itself, it's probably in the best spot it's ever been, just in terms of, like, the star power, the way the game's played, all those things. Joe, if you look at the playoffs this year, like, the ratings are down from last year. Now, some of that is the NHL is still a league, to me anyway, that relies heavily on some of their big markets to generate TV ratings. Like, and you look in the playoffs, who's not in there this year? Well, the Rangers are not in there this year, and the Boston Bruins are not in there this year. So some of it's as simple as that, as you have two of your massive draws around the league that did not make the playoffs this year when they've been in the playoffs a lot recently, particularly in the case of the Bruins. But, like, you know, the NHL, I could tell you, like, behind the scenes there's some concern of, like, why are the ratings down this year when the product is as good as it's ever been?
Yeah, it sucks, you know? I mean, it shouldn't be the case. And we've talked about the transition and stuff broadcast-wise, but I don't know. That shouldn't be the case. I think the game's in a great place, but I also think the NBA is. I mean, again, I understand some of the complaints, but I love the NBA right now. I think it's a great era. Chip from Mount Juliet says, the NBA is and has been five individuals playing, not a team sport, for many years. It's not as popular as the 70s and 80s, plain and simple. I mean, just tell me you hate basketball without telling me you hate basketball. First of all, that's not true at all. I mean, if you watch last night, the extent to which Indiana had to go to get shots absolutely required five people. You know, there was a couple of plays where Nembhard just took his guy and hit step backs, which were huge. But other than that, look how what they had to do to create shots.
Yeah.
It's talk about team sport on the defensive end. Amazing team defense on both sides. Also, the 70s was actually when the NBA almost freaking died. So, you know, the 80s definitely, revived it. Magic, Bird, you know, David Stern, et cetera, et cetera, into Jordan with, you know, Isaiah Thomas as the, you know, the guy that people don't talk about enough. But, yes, it's just a total – I mean, look, if you hate it, you hate it. But, like, I'd say, like, if you hate something, that's fine. But, like, do you have to say ignorant things about it?
Well, I would argue that – the Golden State dynasty, particularly when they had Durant, ended up being some of the best team basketball that we've ever seen played. I mean, there's that. Like, people yell about LeBron and the Heat and all the time. You know, I would probably agree that they were close to five individuals playing their first year. And you know why they won the next two? It's because they turned into a pretty darn good team, right? Like, they came together and gelled. So, like, you're not winning in the NBA if you can't gel and become a really good team and play as one.
No question. And yes, Golden State. I mean, look, Steph Curry, we think of him as the best shooter. I think he's the best off ball running off screens guy I've ever seen. So look at the sets they run, the staggered screens, the different things they do to pop him open while they're basically their center now. Draymond Green acts as point guard in the half court and gets in the ball. Their definition of team basketball. I don't know what to do for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I love, like, I'm kind of like those people who grew up watching the NBA in the 90s who think that it's just the greatest thing ever. Like, my era of NBA was basically mid-2000s all the way up to kind of the beginning of the Golden State stuff was when I was, like, really locked in. And I'm talking locked in, like, every night, whether it's December in the regular season or playoffs or whatever. And I'm not that way anymore, frankly, because I just don't have a whole lot of time to be that way. Like, I'm covering the NHL and doing all this other stuff. So I'm not that way with the NBA anymore. But I don't think the game is bad. Like, if you watch the game itself, it's still a pretty darn good product out there. And again, we come back to this conversation all the time, and we don't have to get into this now because we've gotten into it a lot. But for some reason, like, we all agree that, you know, NFL football is way better. The players are all way better. NHL hockey is way better. The players have all gotten way better. But, like, basketball is the one sport, I guess, that there's this thought out there. It's like, wow, it was a whole lot better 40 years ago than it was now. And it's like, yeah, I don't think so, man.
Bob Cousy would put 50 on Halliburton any day. Yeah, no, don't get me started. You want to talk about triggering me.
I know. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on Rex Rhodes' NBA take, plus a commitment in the NFL finally made yesterday, we think. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 1025, 1063, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on Gwinnett at First Horizon Park. Pre-game begins at 6:20. First pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Robbie and Rex Rhodes here on 1025, 1063 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Joe, I will have to say there is one thing about the NBA right now that is irritating the crap out of me, and it is simply this. They were just off for a week. Why are they not playing Saturday? Like, it's, you've been off for a week. There's no travel from game one to game two out of Oklahoma City. Why, you can't play Saturday? We got to wait all the way till Sunday for game two? I don't understand that.
Yeah, it's no, I agree. I mean, obviously, it's a TV dictated thing, which they think Sunday is better. People go outside. I don't know. I know that the NBA Finals have in the past been a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday thing. They've also been a Friday, Wednesday, Sunday thing. It used to be one or the other, I swear. And maybe someone can verify for me. But now we're looking at, what, Thursday, Sunday? Then
Wednesday,
Thursday, Sunday, Wednesday. So yeah. See, it's all over the place. I don't know. I mean, again, I think it's TV stuff. I mean, at least I think we there is some coordination, right? With the NHL and NBA here, right?
Yeah. There's not an overlap, which I'm thankful for that.
Yes. But like, I agree. Saturday night. Yeah. Well, I'd love to have a freaking game to watch.
Yeah. Like,
absolutely.
Like, you know, the NHL, they're going, so game two will be tonight. And then they don't play again until Monday. Now, they're also traveling, 2,500 miles going from Edmonton to Florida. So, like, right. I don't mind the extra day, like, when you're traveling. Actually, I kind of prefer the extra day when you're traveling to get teams a chance to get settled in and get recovered and all that. But I saw that last night, and I was like, wait a minute, they're not playing game two till Sunday? What are we doing? Yeah. They're all hanging out at, like, the downtown Oklahoma City steak bar or steak restaurant down there. Like, what's going on?
I would think some pretty good sides of beef there in that town.
You would think.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong. I looked at the Stanley Cup final schedule, and I think, like, there's a big gap. Isn't there, like, a gap between 3 and 4? But then it's, like, there is a one-day turnaround on one of the travels, I believe.
Yes, there is.
Which is, good Lord, that's going to be brutal. I mean, yeah, is that, like, between 4 and 5?
Yeah. It is between 4 and 5, yeah. So they play game four in Florida on next Thursday, and then Saturday back in Edmonton. All right. Have fun.
It's going to be a fun Friday for everybody.
Everybody hop on the plane very quickly. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see the way that part of it plays out there. But I couldn't believe that. I was like, okay, cool. We're just everybody sitting around Oklahoma City for all weekend long before we get to game two coming up on Sunday. So that'll be fun. But that's a minor grievance that I have looking at this. I got one text that says, I'm 36, grew up in Chicago in the 90s, watching the Bulls win 6 championships ruined the NBA for me, I think. I can understand if you're in Chicago and you grew up in the 90s, probably not going to ever overtake that as your best sports memory.
Yeah. And, congratulations on all those titles when the NBA was kind of weak.
Wow.
And it's kind of great to see the Bulls continue to suck.
Joe, we got some news yesterday that I was beginning to wonder if we were ever going to get, and it looks like Aaron Rodgers has finally made his decision. It's June the 5th as of yesterday, and it looks like Aaron Rodgers has decided that he is going to sign a contract with the Pittsburgh Steelers and that he will be at minicamp next week. So this saga that began in March, Joe, where I remember Mike Florio had the report on the second day of free agency that it could be done as soon as today. Well, it was not done on March the 16th. It is apparently done now, and he is going to be signing a contract with Pittsburgh. He will be in the building for minicamp next week. So Aaron Rodgers appearing for his third team, Joe, and he will be the next quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Your thoughts?
Well, I'm glad it's over because I'm sick of talking about it. And I think it's pretty clear. And I saw a lot of reaction to this, some angry reaction. I saw some people bring back some, you know, some Colin Cowherd, you know, freezing cold takes and stuff like that. I think it seems to me pretty clear that Tomlin and Rodgers were on the same page, right? I mean, I have to believe that. Like, you know, publicly everybody's like, what's going to happen? Oh my goodness. What are the, you know, you know, then I just feel like this was one of those things where it's like, okay, come to the mandatory stuff. That'll be enough. The outside world will freak out about it. And I don't know if it'll work at all. I don't know if it's a good move at all. But I saw someone make an interesting point, and I hadn't thought about it this way, Robbie, but, and I also feel bad that I forget who it was, but it was someone. It was a person, a human who made this point. Good job, person. That this is maybe the first time in Aaron Rodgers' career that he won't be asked to be the culture setter, be, you know, this is the guy we almost fell. He's basically brought in to be a hired gun. Can that work at quarterback? You know, really talented guy. We have a great culture here. We have a foundation. We're a stable organization. We want you for your talent. Get in there, be good, be a good teammate. You know, you can bark. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is going to bark at people if they don't know all those little goofy hand signals immediately, oh, yeah. Right? But it's not like this is Aaron's team. It's an interesting thought, you know. I mean, in other sports, you can bring in like an aging great player, and there may be, you know, there may be other leaders or whatever, and it's like, yeah, it's basically just you're bringing in the ringer, you know, to try to be better at the sport. It's just, we don't think of things like that with a quarterback.
No,
but I haven't thought about that. I mean, to me, that's the only way it works, is that he kind of folds himself into, he's not in the dysfunctional organization. He's no longer with the original organization that he helped bring to great heights. Can he just go out there and ball out?
It's a great question. And then, like, probably the better question is, can he be the hired gun at age 41? Like, does he still have enough game left to him to be the hired gun at age 41? Now, you know, we've gone through some of his numbers last year. They weren't as bad as people thought they were. Like, they ended up being pretty decent. So we'll see what that looks like in Pittsburgh. I guess my question is, like, I'm looking at this, Joe, and I, you know, we've just assumed that he's going to be the quarterback here for a while in Pittsburgh. So it's not much of a surprise. I mean, I still think I've got them third in their division. Like, again, Cincinnati, I guess at this point, you can't just automatically include. You know, everybody, I still keep hearing conversations, and I think the Super Bowl odds reflect it. I'll go double check. But I still keep hearing conversations of everybody putting Cincinnati with Buffalo and Baltimore and all those teams. And I get it. It's because of the quarterback. But they have missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. So I don't know if they deserve that benefit of the doubt. But, Joe, I think if I was sitting here today and you were asking me to pick the AFC North, I'd go Baltimore 1, Cincinnati 2, Pittsburgh 3. Like, I think that's how I would order it.
Yeah. I can't argue with that. I can't argue with that. I mean, I feel like success at this point is, can you win a freaking playoff game?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because it's been 8 years. And look, they could be third, and they could still be potentially, if everything were to break well, they could be potentially a dangerous team still in the playoffs, you know? And look, I'm excited to see Aaron Rodgers throwing to DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
That's an interesting pairing of skill sets. You know, what if that is just, you know, lightning and thunder right away? I mean, you know, if you're a Steelers fan, I'd love to know that, if we have Steelers fans listening. Like, first of all, it's not like this is out of nowhere. So I'm sure there's not a lot of like excitement. And there's probably a lot of people who are like, yeah, it's going to happen. He's just not going to, you know, he's going to take his time and all that stuff. But like, if you're a Steelers fan, this is obviously a short term Band-Aid. You know, the Colts went through a long period of trying to do this with different, you know, quarterbacks who were not past their prime, but still had something to offer. You know, does this excite you? I mean, does anybody really think that like this can be like, because 2 years ago we were talking about, man, are the Jets like a contender now, right, that they have him? And we, you know, of course he tears his Achilles, but they wouldn't have been. I mean, he didn't tear his Achilles. They were not going to be, but we, overestimated because, look, they did have a heck of a defense and things like that. I don't know. I can't look at the Steelers and think of them as a contender. But if not, and it's just like, yeah, we'll be a little bit better, maybe win a playoff game, how do you feel as a Steelers fan?
Well, then I mean, the question's still going to be, like, what's your long-term answer at quarterback, right? Like, you
exactly.
Know, like, Rodgers has got – let's say he's on the high end. He's got, like, 2 years left. I mean, what's he going to get? Are you going to be able to win a championship during that time? So, to me, it still comes back to you're eventually here throughout this process going to have to find your next answer long-term at quarterback if you're going to take that next step as an organization. Like, yeah, winning a playoff game would be great. And if you're a Steelers fan, you haven't done it in a while, so you'd feel awesome about it. But it's hard for me to believe that Rodgers at 41 and the rest of that roster, by the way, which really, if you look at it, Joe, is fine, but it's not great. The rest of that roster, like, I don't think they're Super Bowl contenders.
I agree. I guess it's the highest paid defense in the NFL.
Yeah,
but that sometimes when you're that kind of speaks to some guy, you know, some guys who have been paid and have seen their best days already. I mean, yeah, I'm with you on that. You know, I'm reading this piece by Mike DeFabo about this, and you know, going back through the whole quarterback thing, they've just had, obviously they had old Roethlisberger, you know, and they've just been old at the position. They had a chance in 2020, that draft class, you know, they could have, like, Jordan Love, for example, goes 26 and Jalen Hurts goes 53rd, and they drafted Minkah Fitzpatrick, who's a heck of a player, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, great player, but at some point they're going to have to figure out, and you know, don't forget, they did draft Kenny Pickett. It just didn't work out. So they have tried, but then you go Russell Wilson and now you're going Aaron Rodgers. And meanwhile, everything else is getting older. And yeah, it's just like, I think we're looking at like a 9-10 win team.
Yeah. Got another NFL thought to get into coming up next, plus something that I think could totally rock Rex Rhodes' world if it ends up happening. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll be joined by Jared Stillman coming up at 7 o'clock. Joe, real quickly, we did get asked by Mo on the text line our thoughts on Anthony Richardson, who, as we know, is in a quarterback competition with Daniel Jones and now has aggravated his right shoulder joint, the AC joint that I think you heard a couple years ago. And he has now aggravated that again. He's going to be out for an undetermined length of time, and that probably means that he's not going to play in next week's mandatory minicamp. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's not a huge deal to miss mandatory minicamp in June via injury. Like, if he's back out there at training camp, then it just kind of is what it is at that point. But for a guy who we already think's in some deep trouble, Joe, and a guy that, despite his incredibly well-built frame at the quarterback position, has not been able to stay healthy to this point for the most part in his career, not a good start to his third year for Anthony Richardson.
No, I'm starting to drift toward what somebody told us. I forget who. It was a human. It was some person that you know,
a sir just, or a ma'am.
That's right. That this is just trending toward, maybe it was Charles actually, trending toward Daniel Jones having that job. Which, again, like we just asked about Steelers fans and how you feel. Boy, how you feeling, Colts fans? Indy Ben, are you going to make up? Are you going to try to tell us that you're excited about that? Let me know. Text line's open for you, buddy.
We'll see what happens. So, Joe, as we know on this program, you hate the Chicago White Sox. It has been a long-standing hatred of the Chicago White Sox. Well, the White Sox are potentially selling their team, right? Jerry Reinsdorf been there for a long time. Most people around here are probably familiar with Jerry Reinsdorf from the Michael Jordan documentary that Joe Rexroad hates so much, The Last Dance, in which he was incredibly featured in that. But a potential sale that has been reached with Justin Ishbia, who, by the way, is an investor in Nashville SC here locally, Joe. So as we know, we're always thinking about, you know, baseball here in Nashville and when could it be coming and could it be an expansion team? Could it be an existing team that moves? What's that going to look like? Where are they going to play? All those things. But what do you make of what the Chicago White Sox are doing? And do you think Nashville could ever be a factor with the White Sox? And would that change your allegiance?
That's an interesting question. First of all, let me get to some name dropping. All right, so here on my shirt here, see this? That's the peanut barrel. This is my favorite East Lansing bar. This is the dive bar with the a la burger. That's like, you know, that's my number one in East Lansing. I had the rib on yesterday. So Justin Ishbia, you know, his brother, I covered him in college, and now I knew Justin. Justin's kind of friends of friends. Now, you'd find Justin at the Land Shark often, but it's amazing to me to sit here 25 years later, and these dudes are both billionaires buying all the teams, you know?
Yeah.
But the thing about Justin is Justin went to Vanderbilt, got his law degree. Like you said, he's an investor in Nashville SC. Now, a few things on this. He will not have a controlling interest, I don't believe, until the mid to 2030s. That's the way it's structured. Also in the statement, he made the point, I love Chicago, I love the White Sox, blah, blah, all this stuff. So, I mean, no one's talking about this now, but Jerry Reinsdorf has been pushing for, you know, a new stadium in Chicago, publicly funded. We know the story. And meanwhile, Rate Field, which sucks, which is state funded, which is a pile of trash for its pile of trash team, has not been paid off yet. I'm just, you know, connecting some dots here. We've always talked about where's the billionaire? And we've also talked about the more likely scenario for Nashville to get baseball is probably a team moving. There was some talk recently, right, about Tampa Bay and all that stuff, the Rays. I'm just looking at this, and there's a lot of factors, including, you know, Nashville itself over the next 10 years and Chicago. You know, there's a lot of things that are variables. I have no idea how they're going to turn out. But I'm just saying, man, could the White Sox potentially down the road, could there at least be a threat of moving them here to try to get that stadium, man, if not an actual move?
The Nashville White Sox, what would you do?
Oh, would I'd totally shun support them? No, I'd support them. Yeah.
Would you really?
Yeah, I mean, mostly, I mean, my biggest thing is I just hate Chicago sports teams other than the Cubs, you know?
Okay.
So, I mean,
makes sense.
Yeah, like, I mean, you know, the people that I really hate, like, you know, freaking AJ Pierzynski and all these clowns, they're all long gone anyway. So,
Ozzie Guillen. Yes. Yes, sir.
Oh, the Hawk. My God, the worst announcer in the history of sports. Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, it's hard to hate Ozzie Guillen for me.
He's pretty hilarious.
He's so funny. But yeah, I mean, absolutely. Like in the moment when he was managing them, absolutely. So now if they become the Nashville White Sox, it's a totally new relationship.
Wow. I'm pulling for it now. I need to be here to see that. The transition of Joe's total hatred of the White Sox to him wearing a White Sox hat somewhere in downtown Nashville.
But this is the kind of thing, you know,
yeah,
that
for sure,
that you need, right? Is especially with the, and I have no idea, like, does Justin Ishbia, does he have a house here in Aaron Rodgers' neighborhood? Like, I don't know. Don't know how, you know, tied to Nashville is, but the fact that he's a Nashville SC investor, kind of interesting.
It is interesting. We'll have to keep an eye on that as the White Sox continue to battle through, number one, being a horrible baseball team, and number two, what the future of their franchise could look like. Jared Stillman will be with us coming up next. We got a whole smorgasbord of topics to get into with Jared. We will do that. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.